Bonnevillenews.com.
This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
This is Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, speaker, consultant Mark Amtower gives you his take on what's going on in the world of government contracting. Amtower Off-Center with your host, Mark Amtower.
Welcome to our no-holds-barred forum for discussing what's good, bad, ugly, and just plain silly in the arena of doing business with the government. My guest today is Mr. James Lloyd of the U.S. Army Office of Small Business. Mr. Lloyd, your title is really long, so please give it to me again.
Right. I am the assistant to the director for the Veterans and Service-Disabled Veterans Small Business and Hub Zone program for the Army's Office of Small Business program.
Right, and you're also the program director for the Service Disabled Veteran Program. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Cool. I was going through the it's selling to the Army dot is it dot com?
It's several dot com dot info.
Yeah. That is an extremely robust website. There is a ton of information out there for anybody who wants to sell to the Army in particular, but we're going to focus on the veterans issues today. So
okay.
Give me a a little background on, first of all, on you, and then tell us about the veterans program that the Army has going right now, please.
Well, essentially, I am a veteran. I served as an Army officer for 26 years. I just retired in 2003 as an acquisition professional and an air defense officer. I got involved in the Army Small Business Program in 1999, and when I retired, there was an opening, and I stayed with the Army Small Business Program to the present.
Okay.
Essentially, we assist or help provide information to the small business community that wants to do business with the Army, either selling a product or a service that they think the Army might benefit from.
All right. And the website had a fair amount of information on the types of products and services that the Army buys.
Correct.
But let's go to the veterans portion here. The one part of your job I know is to educate all of the acquisition professionals in the Army on the public law that particularly sets aside business for veteran-owned and service-disabled veterans. Is that correct?
Correct. As an advocate and the program manager for the Service Disabled Veterans Program, we try to keep the acquisition community informed of any changes in the law, or at least assist those service-disabled veteran-owned companies that are, one, interested in doing business with the Army, or, for that matter, those that are just starting out. Yeah, we could, if you notice on our website, we have a section that talks to the 13 steps on how to do business with the Army.
Right, and I saw that. And it's a great PowerPoint, and I think, don't you use that, or isn't that used at DAU as well?
Correct.
Okay.
And we work in concert with the other services, and I guess we'll talk later on the conference that we put together.
The sixth annual Veterans Conference. Yeah.
So
let's talk a little bit about the breadth and depth of what the small business office at the Department of Army does for small businesses. Because I know that over the past several years, you've been able to increase the amount of money going to small businesses.
That's correct. As I mentioned, we are essentially advocates. One, for the Army doing more business with small businesses, and also as a conduit for the small business community to, one, understand what the Army buys and how to do business with the Army, who to market to, for instance, depending on the product or service small business is selling. we act as the conduit to help them figure out what agency they would best sell to versus if you've got a selling a wheel, you won't want to go to an agency that, just buys typewriters, oversimplifying, of course.
Right.
So we try to steer them to those commands that may have a requirement to buy their product or service.
Okay. Now, one of the issues that that OSDBOOs across government face is the when a new vendor comes in, they are leading with their business status, not their business strength. So, from and you've been doing this for a while now, both as uniformed personnel and since you've migrated into the small business program, what is your advice to small companies coming in? What do they need to say to the small business officer, or what should they be asking?
Well, the first thing, I think they have to know their product or service, and their capabilities. The second thing is they should be asking, who buys what I'm selling, or can you help me reach the community that will more than likely buy my product? The fact that they're service disabled veteran owned and there are some set asides authorized, most of our contracting activities understand that. But the key thing for us is the primary customer is our soldiers, the warfighter. So whether we're a small business or large business, our interest is protecting, making sure our service member that's on the front line get the products that they need to do their jobs well. So they have to understand that fact and be ready to do that, do the business. We'll take care of the other piece as far as whether or not a particular contract will be set aside for service disabled or be a competitive award. So we try to make sure they understand that the small business have to be able to show why their product simply is better than some other company. For instance, in the National Capital Region, the biggest product market is in the IT arena. So as a service disabled veteran-owned company, you have to show why your IT product is better than a large business or another small business company, not just because you're a service-disabled veteran-owned company.
Right, so you have to differentiate yourself in terms of quality or service or something.
Right, and one of the things I try to tell companies that I counsel or that call in is, you first need to do your due diligence. If I say to you, this command normally would buy that product, then that company should take a look at their website. Most or nearly all of our commands have a website. So you got to understand the mission. You got to understand what drives that command. And once they have an opportunity to understand the mission, then you can put that their brief in the context of what their product will do to help them be successful in the mission,
mm-hmm.
and not just I want a contract,
right?
But how can you or to meet a specific goal? How can your product help the command or those soldiers meet the mission? And I think we tend to go a lot farther because, more than not, that commander in the field, if you bring them something that can help him or her meet their mission, they're more apt to listen. But if you lead off with, I'm here to help you meet your service-disabled goal or your small business goal, you may or may not get the attention that you deserve.
Okay. Now, I noted at the website, the not the service-disabled part, but the main small business site at the U.S. Army, that there was a map that indicated you had small business advocates literally all over the country.
That's correct. What we have is each buying activity within the Army has a small business advocate assigned to assist the contracting office as the advocate for the small business community. We have approximately 240 full-time or part-time small business specialists across the U.S. So an individual can go to the locations map and click on the state that they're interested in doing business, whether it's their home state or another state that they interested in doing business, and a list of all the small business advocates within that state, Army small business advocates
right.
within that state will come up with their contact information and the name of the commands, the support, and the like.
Cool.
And they can use that to reach out to them.
Excellent. My guest today is James Lloyd, who is the program director for the Veterans Program of the Small Business Office of the United States Army. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk more about the Army program, and shortly thereafter, we'll migrate into the 6th Annual Veterans Business Conference. You're listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Isn't it funny how just when you think you've had the best time of your life, life makes you think differently? Remember your first kiss? How would you top that? And that summer before college. But then college came and poof, you almost forgot those times you would never forget. There was the romance that swept you off your feet and the wedding that took everyone's breath away. And the only thing more amazing than how beautiful your babies were was what wonderful people they turned out to be. Well, guess what? If you think life just couldn't get better, we've got news for you. It can. And that's the best reason for getting a mammogram. At Kaiser Permanente, more women do. And that's how we know regular screens are one sure way to make certain you live long and thrive. You want to know what happens next? Go for your next mammogram and stick around. Things are going to get a lot more interesting. Kaiser Permanente. Thrive.
To learn more, go to kp.org/mymammogram. Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
20,000 feet over Kandahar, fuel running low, ground troops need air support. The solution? EADS North America's KC-45 aerial refueling tanker. Offering the most range, fuel, and payload, it's the only tanker in the Air Force competition that's flying now when our troops need it. EADS North America will put 48,000 Americans to work building the KC-45 in the U.S. Proven capability, ready now. EADS North America's KC-45. See it at kc45now.com.
Hey, Natstown, make your dollar go further at Nationals Park. Get your red on. Watch future Hall of Famer Pudge Rodriguez, All-Star Ryan Zimmerman, slugger Adam Dunn, and the Nats as they battle the Mets Wednesday and Thursday, May 19th and 20th. Don't miss the best happy hour in D.C. $5 Miller products at the Miller Lite Scoreboard Walk. Spend less, get more, go Nats. Visit Nationals.com or call 888-632-NATS. 888-632-NATS.
Here's Congressman Michael McCaul, co-chair of the Commission on Cybersecurity, on the 21st Century Cybersecurity Panel, sponsored by ArcSight.
It's very clear that we need to set security standards within the federal government to better protect these networks. That's why we put NIST in charge of doing that across all federal agencies. We also improve coordination outside of the government by creating basically a task force to coordinate the research and development that is comprised of both the federal government, the universities, and the private sector.
To listen to the whole program made possible by ArcSight, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
NATO, the Federal Reserve, World Bank, the Department of Treasury, what do they have in common? All turned to ArcSight to secure their critical information and operations. ArcSight identifies, assesses, and mitigates internal and external cyber threats. With the market-leading ArcSight SIEM platform, organizations can safeguard their assets, comply with regulatory policy, and control risks associated with cyber attacks. Learn more at ArcSight.com. ArcSight.com.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
We're back on Amtower Off Center. I'm Mark Amtower. I'm here with James Lloyd, who is the program director of the Veterans Program for the Small Business Office of the United States Army. Mr. Lloyd, again, thanks for joining me. And I got to tell you, I really appreciate your assistant, Mr. Miles, Cameron Miles, giving me a call the other day to help set this up because, I'm a huge fan of the Veterans Conference, and just having the opportunity to help you guys promote that is well worth everybody's time.
No, that's great, and I appreciate giving us the opportunity to at least have an opportunity to talk, one, about what the Army is doing in support of the small business community and the veterans program that we have sponsored for the last 5 years. Out at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and that has grown tremendously, but we'll get into that in a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
I mentioned earlier that the Selling to the Army website is just tremendously robust. I'm not quite sure how to phrase this. What should people look for first when they go there, especially if they haven't done business with the Army before?
There's a couple of things I'd recommend. Each small business company sets themselves up in a varying socioeconomic category, whether it's a hub zone, a woman-owned, or serves a disabled veteran. And we have each one of the programs listed on the website where they can go and take a look at the laws, take a look at some of the programs that we're doing within that program.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, we have a link that talks of doing business with the Army, especially if it's a new company just starting. We have what's called 13 steps to doing business with the Army, and it goes through from the beginning, getting a DUNS number or CAGE code, through marketing to the particular agencies or organizations that would potentially buy the product. Some of it, depending on the stage of the business life, will it would be something that they've already done before,
mm-hmm.
and then some of it as a refresher, or some of it may actually be new and that they need to consider.
And a lot of companies have DUNS numbers and don't know it, especially the smaller ones.
Correct.
And you just have to go in there and see.
Right. And additionally, we also have a link on there that it's a location map that lists all our small business advocates
mm-hmm.
across the U.S. to include the National Guard Bureau. As a matter of fact, each state has a USPFO, United States Property and Fiscal Officer, who's responsible for all the federal dollars going to that state, or acts as the contracting officer for those funds. And they are actually dual-headed because they wear the small business hat. So sometimes the states may have some opportunities that a small business can reach out to, and those USPFO are listed there as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's say for like the BRAC activities out at Fort Meade, I'm sure there are a variety of small business advocates at Fort Meade. I had a call yesterday from a friend who has a friend who does roofing. If there is going to be a ton of construction going on at Fort Meade, there will be. If he had absolutely no clue about doing business with the government but suspected that there were opportunities, we could aim him at the small business advocate at Fort Meade, that being his local area.
That's correct. Or if we have several disciplines, we have the Army Corps of Engineers.
Mm-hmm.
That
very active Baltimore district.
Right. You've got the Baltimore district that has a small business advocate that they can also reach out to and see if there are other opportunities within the state of Maryland.
I saw her speak a couple weeks ago, and man, is she a dynamo.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the other thing. We have grown in our small business program where we've become more proactive with the contracting, in the sense that once a contracting office has a requirement, we try to get our small business advocates to be part of the acquisition strategy development team, so they can have some input early on in the decision making as far as how that requirement will be awarded or contracted, whether it be set aside for small business or a particular socioeconomic category, whether it's SDV, or if not, if it goes full and open, there's some subcontracting opportunities available to the small business community.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the misconceptions that a lot of small businesses have, a lot of people have in general, is that the Office of Small Business for any agency actually awards contracts. Will you please address that for a moment?
As I said earlier, the small business officers or the small business specialists or off small business program are essentially an advocacy program. We advocate for small business to do business. We don't have contracting authority to award contracts. If, for instance, there's an issue whether or not a contract could be set aside for small business, we can inquire and state the case to support setting aside a requirement if there are small business available to do the work. But we do not award contracts. As a matter of fact, sometimes, as I mentioned, get involved early. We sometimes have our commands, our contracting activities, go do a request for information or sources sought, and we ask small businesses to respond to those, because then that allows the contracting officer or that small business specialist at that level to know there are small businesses out there, one that are potentially capable of doing the work, and there are some interests. And that helps help with taking the strategy out of full and open and making a small business set aside, or at least having the ability to request the contract be set aside for small business.
Right. And as we both know, that there's a 23% government-wide goal for small business.
That's correct.
Cut down into women, veterans, et cetera.
Correct.
So any way we can help fill that, that'd be great.
Right.
Cool. Let's migrate after the break into the Veterans Business Conference. My guest today is James Lloyd, who is the program director for the Veterans Program at the U.S. Army Small Business Office. And when we come back, we are going to be talking about the 6th Annual Veterans Business Conference coming up in July in Las Vegas. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The Russian government has sentenced one of its citizens to a maximum security prison on espionage charges. Gennady Sipachev was convicted of spying for the Pentagon. Investigators claim Sipachev sent secret maps belonging to the Russian Army General Staff to a Pentagon intelligence unit acting under the cover of a mapping business. The Russians claim the U.S. was planning to use the maps to adjust guidance systems on cruise missiles. I'm J.J. Green.
If you've ever stumbled in the dark, did you ever stop to think how difficult it is for our military to see what they need to see and nothing else during night warfare? Airink has. Airink provides design solutions for night vision devices, helmet-mounted displays, and laser eye protection, just to name a few. They help all branches of our armed forces to see better, fly and land faster, and most importantly, more safely. Airink helps today's military forces become ready for tonight's warfare challenges. For more information and career opportunities, log on to ARINC.com.
Tune in to Federal News Radio on Tuesday, May 18th at 10 a.m. for Microsoft's monthly show, GovCon Straight Talk. This month's topic is contract management, cash flow, and governance for success. Guests include Mac McLaughlin and Dwayne Cook from Tatum Partners and Christine Zamuda from Microsoft. Hear how companies with government contracts need to adopt real-world strategies to master contract administration and cash flow management governance. Don't miss Microsoft's GovCon Straight Talk, Tuesday, May 18th at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio.
Listen to Fed Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 a.m. every Friday morning at 11, brought to you by the attorneys of Shaw, Bransford, and Roth. Fed Talk features live interviews with guests from the federal community sharing their insights on issues that affect you. Call in or email questions or comments to FedTalk at federalnewsradio.com. FedTalk is sponsored by GEICO. This week on FedTalk, host Deborah Roth will be joined by Women in Federal Law Enforcement President Margie Moore to discuss WIFLE's annual conference.
Here's Harry J. Foxwell, Principal Consultant, Oracle Corporation, on Virtually There, the Federal View of Virtualization, Present and Future, sponsored by GTSI and Oracle.
It's really about workload management, how you allocate resources among the various environments that are running your applications. Virtualization allows you to consolidate multiple application environments on a shared server and then very, very flexibly reallocate resources to them as needed.
To listen to the whole program, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
There's one thing that IT analysts agree on. Consolidation can significantly save IT cost for your agency, up to 50% depending on your application environment. Discover how much you can save with a consolidation solution from GTSI and Oracle. GTSI, one mission, yours. For more information, visit gtsi.com.
We're back on AmTower Off Center. I'm here with James Lloyd, the program manager at the U.S. Army Small Business Office. He's a program director for the veterans part of the Small Business Office, probably among many other things. But coming up in July, I believe the 19th through the 22nd, we have, well, tell us about what we have.
Well, sir, we have our annual National Veterans Small Business Conference and Expo. This is an event that was started back in 2004 as an outreach effort to increase our opportunities for service-disabled veteran-owned companies and veteran-owned companies. As a matter of fact, when we started, the attendance at the first conference was around 400 attendees. Last year in 2009, and it has been in Las Vegas, Caesars Palace in Las Vegas, Nevada. Last year, our attendance went up tremendously. I think we had pretty close to 3,300 attendees, and they weren't all just small business. We have large businesses. We have other socioeconomic category small business that participate. And I think one of the facts I would like to mention is that we have looked at, we've included or have had agencies from across the federal government to volunteer to be part of this effort, to include the Veterans Administration, State Department, EPA, GSA, Department of Justice,
all of the uniformed services, obviously.
All the uniformed services, to include DLA, Department of Transportation, about 20 other federal agencies that have participated and are still participating in this effort. So small businesses, veteran-owned small businesses, and any other small business for that matter, will have approximately 20 federal agencies there in Las Vegas to reach out to if they're willing to do business with the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great opportunity. We have a full agenda of information and how to market and sell to the federal government, legislation affecting small business, legal issues. We do on the first day, we look at a contracting 101, some of the things to look at. Various breakout sessions that some of the input came from the small business community at the various conferences. But more importantly is the ability to network with not just the federal agency personnel, but other small businesses and large businesses that will be in attendance.
Now, are the large businesses sending their small business advocates to the show? Is that what they do?
It's a mixture.
Okay.
Because in addition to the conference itself, we have an expo. As a matter of fact, I think this year we've already sold out the booth space, tune of about 300 representatives from various companies, large and small, will be there. And that could be small business liaison officers from the various large businesses or their expo folks that normally go out and market the companies. I've had on several occasions companies that's called back and say, you know, based on that conference, I've either met or developed several strategic partners, and we are in pursuit of several requirements. So they felt that the cost of attending the conference was well worth it for the return they receive. And personally, that comment makes me feel well.
Well, you said something earlier there, and you certainly implied it in your total answer, the networking that goes on at these things. Talk for a minute, if you will, about the importance of relationships in this market.
Well, the bottom line is business is about relationships. For the Army, our contracting over the years has gotten larger. You know, our workforce is a little bit smaller. And so when we award a contract, or the contracts that are being awarded are not going to be smaller, they'll probably be larger. And if small business doesn't have all the capability to compete for a particular requirement, they need to find those strategic partners that can help them complete that whole requirement. And that's what that joint venture or that strategic partner is all about. And you can only do that through networking. And not just because a large company or another company says they can do this. You got to have a relationship with that firm because, as you know, when you get into business, there's a lot of things that go into that, a lot of legal issues, and you have to be able to work those through and still complete the requirement if you're successful in being awarded a contract.
Right. Having the technical capability to be able to participate and not having a relationship with either the agency awarding the contract or the companies bidding on it puts you really at a major disadvantage.
That's correct. And even if you competed and did not win, it's also important to understand who the successful offeror was, because maybe they were a competitor, but maybe next time around they could be a strategic partner, or they may look to you for subcontracting opportunities. You know, just because you didn't win as a prime, small business need to understand that doesn't mean that you just go away. You look for opportunities, and a lot of the larger requirements have a subcontracting component to the contract, and that's where that's what makes those networking and those relationships so important. That you might not be the prime, but a subcontractor still puts dollars in the coffer.
Right, and for a lot of companies, they truly build their business by being a great subcontractor, by being a good partner to the primes.
That's correct, and that subcontractor, it all also counts towards past performance, and that's a big evaluation factor. If you don't have any past performance, it's very difficult to be successful in federal contracting.
What can a small company get at, if you lose a contract, or if you're bidding direct or as a sub, what can a small business get by getting a debriefing after the award then?
There's several things. The debriefing allows that company, one, to understand what were some of the issues with their proposal. Now, they won't talk about the winning proposal, but the briefer should explain to the company what were some of the problems with their proposal so they can correct it for the next time. And secondly, as I mentioned before, this allows them to know who the winners were, and it doesn't preclude them from reaching out to that successful offerer and establishing some kind of relationship or seeing if there are subcontracting opportunities that's available. I understand. I too don't like to lose, but there's a way you do it so that hopefully the next time around you'll be better. They'll be better prepared.
I've heard too often from bad sources that when you ask for a debrief, you're flagging yourself as a complainer. But it's really an education process. It's not a matter of it.
Yeah. And I can't speak for across the Army, but most agencies do conduct a debrief. Mm-hmm. And when I counsel or speak to small businesses, I strongly recommend that they ask for it.
You're not going to learn what your proposal was missing by looking at it yourself.
Correct.
Afterwards.
Correct.
This is great. My guest today is James Lloyd, who is with the U.S. Army Office of Small Business, and he is a program director for the Veterans Business. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Veterans Business Conference coming up July 19th through 22nd in Las Vegas at Caesars Palace. I'm Mark Amtower. You're listening to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Are you a health IT decision maker from government or industry? Then the HIMSS Government Health IT Conference and Exhibition is your can't-miss event. History is being made as dramatic changes and resources are making health information accessible to all, and this is your chance to be a part of it. The theme, Innovation 2010, on the threshold of meaningful use, gives you a front row seat to the future of nationwide health information exchange. Meet government and industry decision makers shaping the future. Learn new strategies for connecting the health community. Get practical solutions for your toughest challenges. Be informed. Be inspired. Be there at the HIMSS Government Health IT Conference and Exhibition, June 15th and 16th at the Ronald Reagan Building. Go to govhealthitconference.com for more info. Again, that's govhealthitconference.com, where innovation meets meaningful use.
Cellist Yo-Yo Ma, one of the great stars of classical music, enthralls audiences all over the world with his passion and artistry. When it comes to picking a cello, he tends toward Italian instruments made in the 18th century. When it comes to a timepiece, however, he favors an instrument crafted in Switzerland, the Rolex Datejust. Since Rolex introduced the first self-winding calendar wristwatch in 1945, the Datejust has become one of the most sought-after models in the Oyster line. With its classic Oyster design and magnified date window, the Datejust is every bit as distinctive as the master cellist who wears it. To see the Datejust and a complete selection of other Rolex timepieces, visit your official Rolex jeweler.
See what a new watch can say about you at Tourneau, the world's largest watch store since 1900. Tourneau, the fashion center at Pentagon City, Arlington.
When President Obama was elected, he promised to modernize the federal government, bringing 21st century thinking to a 20th century bureaucracy. On May 20th, join AFSEA Bethesda for a breakfast discussing the WhiteHouse.gov initiatives. This event will highlight how these online innovations have fostered transparency, accountability, and efficiency across the federal government. That's May 20th at the Bethesda North Marriott. To register, visit Bethesda-AFSEA.org/MayBreakfast.
The Dorebeck Insider, hosted by award-winning journalist and free thinker Chris Dorebeck. Engage your mind every afternoon from 3 to 7 as Chris engages the best minds in federal procurement, management, IT, and human resources. The Dorebeck Insider takes on subjects critical for an efficient government. Chris's guests answer the questions you want answered. Tune in to hear how the news shapes your daily interactions in the federal space. The Dorebeck Insider, weekday afternoons from 3 to 7, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.
Welcome back to Amtower Off Center on Federal News Radio. I'm Mark Amtower, and I'm here with James Lloyd, who is the program director for the Veterans Program at the U.S. Army Office of Small Business. You can find them at sellingtothearmy.info, and everything that we're talking about today you can find through that website. All of these small business officers around the United States, 240 plus of these small business advocates just for the U.S. Army, you can find through the website. You can find the information on the Veterans Business Conference, all of the programs that the Small Business Office for Army does, as well as information on selling your product or service, how to get started, the variety of products and services purchased by the Army. As I mentioned, Mr. Lloyd, you know, that site is extremely robust.
And we appreciate that, and we're still working to make it as user-friendly as we can for the small business community, especially being here at the Pentagon. It's sometimes kind of difficult to get to the site, but I think trying to make it more accessible and enough, and the kind of information we think that the small business community need to understand when they are, one, looking to do business with the Army and DOD for that matter.
Right. So let's go back to the Veterans Business Conference coming up July 19 through 22 at Caesars Palace in Las Vegas. Last year you had 3,300 attendees, but you really have to cap out at around 3,500 because of, you know
space limitation.
Yeah.
As far as the general sessions and being able to host or to feed at the luncheon for all our attendees, so folks will have a comfortable time and be able to hear and listen to the speakers that we have invited, and enjoy the meal.
Right. So, and 3,500 is a fair amount of people, and we're in the middle of May right now, or just shy of the middle of May, and the you're halfway to the registration point. So, with 2 months out, I think that you're going to cap. So, I would strongly suggest to those who are listening, sitting on the fence, thinking maybe I'll go, register now, because At a certain point, you will end registration, right?
Right. We will have to close it, and once we've closed it, there's really nothing else we can do as far as letting folks in.
Right. They can stand outside the hotel and maybe wave at people on their way in.
And here's the other thing I mentioned earlier of all our federal sponsors. But I'd hate for one of the federal sponsors to call me up and say, you didn't mention my name. But if you'd allow me just to
go for it,
give the name. We have NASA that participates, Department of Transportation, Defense Logistics Agency, Missile Defense Agency, the Navy, Department of State, Department of Interior, Homeland Security, EPA, the Air Force, GSA, Department of Labor, of course, VA, Department of Commerce, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, DIA, Department of Agriculture, Department of Treasury, Department of Justice, Department of Health and Human Services. So it's not just about doing business with the Army.
Right.
Being represented at the conference. You have several federal agencies and other services that will be there in one location. It's once a year, I understand. We'll all be there for folks to talk to our federal agency in addition to some of our large DOD prime contractors. And if I can bring the family out, they can enjoy the Vegas life for a few days while as a business owner, you get the knowledge and do the networking necessarily to propel your business to the next level.
Right. It is July, and it's 4 days long.
Correct.
And it's probably going to be 5 days, including travel, et cetera.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you list the 20 agencies that sponsor, you know what you're going to do there, right? You're going to make the ones who aren't sponsoring go, well, we better be there next year.
Hey, that's part of it. Because we try to be more inclusive than exclusive.
Right.
Because it's more about the small business community, the veteran community, and it's been a long time coming. These are business owners that have served this country and have came back and still want to continue to serve this country by providing products and service to help our warfighter, especially in this time when we're prosecuting two major conflicts. If I could say, if you're a business owner and have not signed up or registered for the conference, this is the time to do it. You have over 20 federal agencies that will be there that you can talk to and ask questions. We'll have a major matchmaking session towards the end that folks will have an opportunity to do one-on-ones with contracting officers, technical folks, small business personnel.
From 20 agencies.
Correct.
So that all by itself could be worth the freight. You put in the education and the networking that goes on. If you go there with the right mindset and the right attitude and you're proactive, you can get a graduate level education in those 4 days.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
That's, you know, it's a wonderful event. I talked to Scott Denniston about this a couple years ago on the show.
Scott was one of the pioneers that helped pull this program together initially, the Veterans Conference.
Right. And, you know, there's just a whole, and I know you guys get together during the year to make certain that this is a big success. And I got to tell you, you know, growing from 400 6 years ago to 3,500 is really good growth.
Yes, it is. And we'd like to see it grow. We just got to understand the capacity. But we'll like for all the folks to come on out. We just have a restrictions on the capacity, so that's why we're asking folks to register now.
Get off the fence, register now. But you know, here's the flip side. You know, when you guys get together a couple of weeks after the event, when you cap, it's not a matter of if you cap, it's a matter of when you cap the registration on this thing. If it's early enough, you may have to look at bumping out another 500 or so for 2011.
Right. And we'll have to look at how. One, if Caesar's Palace is not the place, can accommodate. As a matter of fact, to Caesar's credit, the conference center was built last year because they just couldn't accommodate us. I won't say that it was built specifically for us, but we were one of the first organizations or conferences that was held in that new facility. We're talking 52,000 square foot. Two levels, and like I said, we've already sold out on the expo space, and you know, we just have the conference area, and the biggest concern is the luncheons, being able to seat everybody, and that's we have a cap on that.
Yeah, and then you got to factor in all the hotel rooms, et cetera.
Right.
You know, they gotta love you. Vegas is all about, you know, bringing people in, right?
Yeah. So. And that's what they do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of folks think, well, Vegas, they think the gambling and the glitz and that's there. But if you're a business owner and you are looking to take your business to the next level, whether you're a veteran-owned company or just a small business, 8A or Hub Zone, this is the place you want to be.
This is a huge gig. So once again, get off the fence and register today or really soon, because if you wait too long, you're going to be one of those who's just really left out in the cold.
That's correct.
All right. Any final thoughts?
I just want to say thank you, Mr. Anton, for allowing me to at least share some of what we try to do to support the small business community, specifically the veteran or service disabled veteran community. I think the Veterans Conference is a great opportunity. Come on out. You ought to come on out yourself.
I'm speaking at another event the same week, which is too bad, but I agree. I've known about this since the first one, and next year I'll be there.
Roger.
Mr. Lloyd, thank you very much. You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on 1500 AM Federal News Radio. My guest has been Mr. James Lloyd, who is the Program Director for the Veterans Program at the Office of Small Business in the United States Army. This is not my day job. If you're one of the few who wish to excel in our market and you're looking for the best source of ongoing education in the market, contact me through governmentmarketmaster.com. And remember, you have not been everywhere until you've been off-center. With AmTower.
You've been listening to AmTower Off-Center on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. AmTower Off-Center, Monday afternoons at noon, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services has redesigned the permanent resident card, commonly known as the green card, to incorporate several major new security features. They've begun issuing all green cards in the new format. The redesign is the latest advance in the Immigration Department's ongoing efforts to deter immigration fraud that officials say will better serve law enforcement, employers, and immigrants. Among the benefits of the new technology, secure optical media will store biometrics for rapid, reliable identification of the card holder. Holographic images, laser-engraved fingerprints, and high-resolution micro-images will make the card nearly impossible to reproduce. Additionally, radio frequency identification capabilities will allow customs officers at ports of entry to read the card from a distance and compare it immediately to filed data.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
The SATCOM report is brought to you by Hughes, the global leader in broadband satellite networks and services. Here is Tony Bardo from Hughes.
Are your agency networks prepared for a crisis? When a disaster strikes, terrestrial networks are most vulnerable to failure, and backing them up with other terrestrial technology means they can all fail. Only a true alternate path technology can ensure connectivity, satellite. Hughes Intergovernment Crisis Network, or IGCN, operates over Spaceway 3, the world's first satellite with onboard switching and routing. IGCN is an intergovernmental network that is not subject to terrestrial failures when a disaster strikes. Private and secure, IGCN enables agencies to share critical information and coordinate decision-making rapidly and effectively during an emergency.
Visit today's complete SATCOM report on federalnewsradio.com. Visit Hughes on the web at government.hughes.com or call 800-498-4909.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. The right technology, right away.
Good news for the uninsured and the insured. U.S. Healthy People 2020 Network is now offering annual health physical to the public. Members receive comprehensive health assessments for hypertension, thyroid, kidney, osteoporosis, diabetes, cholesterol, heart screening, and more till the year 2020. Find out your risks for heart attack or stroke. Take the extra step you and your family need to stay healthy till 2020 and beyond. Call 301-386-2223 or visit ushealthypeople2020.org for details.